So, a few years ago, I wrote a blog post for our church's website. And I titled this blog post, 21 Reasons to Come to My Church. It was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it had a serious side to it. But among the reasons that I gave to come to this church, I suggested the following. I'll just mention four of them. Reason number one, yes, we think there's a gay agenda, and we're for it. Two, not married, living together, nice, welcome. Reason number seven, I wrote, a lot of people at LPCC are pretty well-to-do. I don't criticize them for being capitalists, but then go ask them for money when I need it. Our well-to-do members, after all, are trying to figure out how to be authentically Christian, just like everyone else. They merely have their own unique challenges. No need to scapegoat them for that. And reason number eight, a lot of people at LPCC are barely getting by from paycheck to paycheck. Life in Toronto is expensive. We don't hound such people about tithing or anything like that. And so on. What you will notice about many of the reasons for not giving up on Lawrence Park Community Church, at the core of them is our desire to be a hospitable place for everyone and anyone who might come through those doors. Our big tent church aims to be, we're not there yet, but it aims to be a cross-section of our society. We are old and young, we're Anglo and not, we're theologically evangelical, or maybe liberal, or maybe not sure at all. Some of us are athletic, some of us are intellectual, some of us are political, some of us are all three. We support causes that embrace Muslims, refugees, the poor, those in our local neighborhood, and single mothers. I mean, just for example, on the single mothers, today's second collection will be for Camp Scugog. And every summer, Camp Scugog has a few weeks of camping that are especially geared to single mothers who would otherwise not be able to get out of the city to be with their kids on a vacation. So this month, in order to be hospitable for these single mothers, we're going to try to raise $10,000 to build a new cabin at Camp Scugog because the old ones are falling down. And what's really interesting is that Rotary, after we invited them to do so, because we wanted to do this, Rotary came up alongside of us and said, we'll pay an almost equal amount, $8,000, to get the cabin built without debt. Hospitable, friendly, embracing. I think visitors generally, I mean, there's always a few that sneak out before we can say hi, but visitors get the fact that we're hospitable. A few weeks ago, a church consultant we brought in to talk about potential amalgamations joined us for worship the next day. His name was David Raymond, and he's from Minneapolis. And his comment to me, after watching our pre-church coffee hour and our after-church coffee hour and talking to many of our members and after looking through our bulletin and website and the Friday update, his comment to me was something like, wow, the energy here, the positive energy, it's really great. Friendly people here are really looking for visitors. I could hardly get out of the doors. If this church were in my city, in Minneapolis, it would have three times the members that you have. I'm not sure how to take that, but I think it was good. But anyways, good on you. Congratulations. I mean, keep it up. You're amazing. It's wonderful. Of course, now that I've said so, you're probably all waiting for my big but. And of course, there is one. It goes like this. We are hospitable, but we really need to build on that strength. I loathe adding that but, because I don't want to be a nag. And yet, while Irene and I had an experience this month, last month, that justifies a bit of nagging. It goes like this. We went sailing off the coast of Grenada in the Caribbean. We flew to St. George's, which is the capital of Grenada, and there we boarded a 44-foot sailboat. And besides Irene and I, there were two more novice sailors from New York City on the boat with us, and there was an instructor. Captain Jamie was a young woman who has lived on a boat for her whole adult life. Right off, Captain Jamie seemed very nice. She reminded me, actually, which made me feel quite old, but she reminded me of my own kids. But my goodness, as soon as Irene and I got going on that boat, we learned that she cracked the whip. She nagged us from sunup to sundown every day, mercilessly. Crank that winch faster. Watch your fingers. Two turns. Two, not three. Jibe, unfurl, tack, windward. I said windward. Drop that mainsail. Walk low. Grab the sheet. Pull, starboard. Watch out. Lift that anchor. Now. Release that vane. Nag. And so it went. Each day, every hour. And it kind of reminded me about how I sometimes feel as a minister in this church, in every church I've served. But especially here, maybe, because you see, we are, generally speaking, a very liberal congregation. That means that while many of us are really curious about theology and distinctives and the history of the United Church and doctrines and such things, many of us are curious about those sort of things, but none of us ram our views down anybody else's throat. There's a room for people who have different ideas. But what do we do then? Well, as a liberal congregation, like all liberal congregations probably, we tend to focus on the good things we can do to make a Jesus-sized difference in our world. We tend to focus on what we can do rather than on what we believe exactly. So, like many United Church pastors, I tell you what to do that is good. Seek social justice, fight climate change, support building a new cabinet Camp Scugog, you just heard that one, condemn Israel's military occupation of the West Bank, help us make our budget. And getting back to the list that I started the sermon off with, I've said that we should be welcoming of people of every sexual orientation, people who live together but are not married, people who are rich, people who are poor. But saying so sometimes makes me feel like a Captain Jamie grade nag. The flip side of Jamie's nagging, though, was that actually the sailing was a great adventure. Irene and I had a blast. We loved it. Moving at 8 or 9 knots through the water with one side of the deck skimming just inches above the water, crossing an angry patch of ocean with 8-foot waves, the front of the boat actually dipping under the water with each wave and then popping up 8 feet, catching deep-sea tuna and eating it an hour later, doing man overboard, stops and starts and turns successfully, pulling them out of the water. It was actually just a life jacket. The sunsets, the after your sailing day is done glass of wine with new friends on the deck of the boat under the stars. It was all a really great adventure. Maybe Irene and I will retire on a boat. But we figured out the adventure because we accepted Jamie's nagging. And that's sort of how I think about my yes, but today. I know you want to be here. I know you want to do it right. So that's an excuse. And yes, congratulations on being a welcoming and hospitable church. But we have to build on that strength. For us to have an adventure, we need not nagging, perhaps, in the worst sense of the word nagging. But we do need consistent instruction and encouragement if we want to make Lawrence Park Church everything it can be, a church where everyone in all their diversity is actually here rather than us just saying we'd like them to be here. Hospitality is actually a foundational religious duty in Scripture. That is in the first place because all of the Old Testament is shaped by a core Jewish truth. And that is that they came to know themselves as a nation when they were slaves in Egypt and treated horribly. And the whole New Testament is about how the Israelites, the Jews of that era, tried to live out their liberation and their new life. But one of the first things that they were told by Moses is that they had to be hospitable to strangers. Because after all, you too were strangers once as slaves in Egypt, and you know how that went. It will not be that way with you in the promised land. We don't want economic migrants to Canada to suffer like the slaves that the Israelites were in Egypt. Under the oaks of Mamre, Abraham showed hospitality to three strangers who came to meet him, and he slaughtered the fatted calf for them. According to the story, those three strangers turned out to be angels. Boaz opened his fields and his home to a foreigner whose name was Ruth, and together they became grandparents to King David. Rahab hid Israel's spies in Jericho. Hospitality is a key theme in the Old Testament, but also in the New. Our text from 1 Peter demands that we show the same kind of hospitality to our guests that the Israelites were supposed to show to their guests. In different places, Paul demands hospitality of the Romans, of all church leaders, and especially hospitality for widows in an era before life insurance or welfare or Canada Pension Plan. In Hebrews, we read that we must not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it, like Abraham. In the Epistle of 3 John, Gaius is congratulated for the hospitality he showed to Christian strangers who just out of the blue dropped in on him from another city. Jesus himself, speaking of his sheep, says, "Take your inheritance, for I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Now, I don't want to nag, especially when this church has gone such a long way already. I don't want anyone here to leave the sanctuary this morning feeling as if you don't get credit for how well you're doing. You're doing great. But, there's that word again. But, I'd love for our hospitality to evolve into an invigorating and shared adventure that we'd like to live now and retire early to. Maybe it's time, for example, for us to say not merely that we welcome gay people or people with other sexual orientations, as I do in my blog post, but maybe we should actually go through the rather onerous process of actually becoming an affirming United Church. It's time. Maybe It is time not only to say that we are young and old, but it is also time to design new worship experiences that appeal more and more to a younger demographic, something that has come up, by the way, in our strategic initiative process. Maybe it's time for us to become more intentional and consistent, not only about being nice to the people who show up, but become more intentional about actually inviting people to come. You know, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our workmates. In fact, I don't think maybe it's time is actually the right way to put it. At the risk of sounding like a nag, I'm saying that this is such a welcoming place that now is exactly the right time for us to go the next step. After all, there's no reason that every step of our journey together can't be an adventure. Amen.